You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Good evening and welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Sitting across the board from me, Mr. Tim Dennis, my co-host and producer. Hey, guys, a lot of the guests that we get are people that you've recommended to us. If you have somebody that you think would be a great guest for our show, then please feel free to email us, dave@darknessradio.com. Send me the information about the guest, why you think they would be good, and if you have contact information, that makes it a lot easier for us to do as well. So please, we always encourage you to be a part of that and help us find some of these fantastic speakers that we have out there. I also want to mention again, we do have tickets for sale right now for the Waverly Hills Sanitarium Haunted Adventure we're going to do in May 2009, and then in August 2009. This has been 3 years coming, ladies and gentlemen. You wanted to go out to the UFO Ranch with us, we've got it happening. Gilliland's Isetti UFO Ranch. We're going to be going out there. We've got some fantastic speakers, and you get 3 nights of star watching with us. I hope you'll check it out. Go to darknessevents.com and get all the information right there. Right now, though, we're going to go to our phone lines. This Tim, this is going to be interesting.
It is, yeah.
We have got online with us from the television series on A&E, Paranormal State. We've got lead investigator Ryan Buell and psychic-sensitive Chip Coffee. And, guys, we want to thank you both for joining us on the show this evening.
Yo, what's up, Dave?
How you doing? Dave. Now, Ryan, we wanted to bring you two together. There's been a lot of controversy stirring around one of the episodes. Well, a couple of the episodes recently with the...
always the controversy.
Exactly.
Yeah, the controversy.
Right. Now, the Messenger episode has raised a lot of eyebrows, and a couple of different radio shows have commented on the episode, and I guess the lady that you investigated at home is making... all kinds of allegations of trickery and skullduggery going on during the filming of the show. And we wanted to give you a chance to come online and talk a little bit about what actually occurred in some of the allegations she made and see what you might be able to clear up for us as well.
Awesome. Well, Chip, are you there?
I am here. I was going to let you dive in first.
No, go ahead, Chip. I mean, here's my thing. I mean, I guess I will go quickly. You know, I have the utmost respect for all my clients. And so I'm not here to make any comments about Kelly. As far as I can remember and recall, I had an open invitation to always go back. Everything ended fine. You know, I am disappointed that if any client has any anger or if they're upset over something, you know, they always have my contact information. And so, you know, I think we were all a little disappointed that, you know, this individual decided to go public with these claims as opposed to addressing it to us first. But having said that, you know, a lot of them are simply not true and the rest are simply exaggerated. And, you know, there never will be a smoking gun for Paranormal State because I've never faked anything. To my knowledge, Chip and everyone else hasn't faked anything. So, I mean, it's all just a matter of opinion. And it sounds like, you know, there's just certain people who are trying to latch on to this, you know, to get something out of it. And that just happens with any publicity, anyone who's got a TV show or anything.
No, I agree. And, you know, one of the funny things, reading some of the blogs and comments and, you know, that I'm one of the puppets of Paranormal State because because you guys have had me do events with you that I will cover for you to the ends of the earth. The one thing I've always said going forward is I would never be a part of any of the shows that are a scam. If I was asked to be a part of it, I would and told to scam something, I would step away and not. I'd rather just not be connected to it than to go on it and know it in my heart. In the episode that I filmed with you guys, First Contact, when we went out to Gilliland's Ranch, the UFO Ranch, you know, there's all these allegations that are hilarious. I signed all these phone book thick disclaimer that I can't talk about anything that happened during the filming of the show and that I was paid $1 trillion to be there. And you guys have bought my silence. I'll say this. I begged you guys and I begged the guys from Ghost Hunters, Chris and Patrick, you, everybody I knew that was in the paranormal field to come out and check this place out. It was my cajoling over the 3 years to get you guys out to this ranch. It wasn't you guys did the show and then brought me to kind of substantiate it. It was the other way around. I was pleased to have you guys come out there. Everything, and I will go on record as saying this. First of all, I got paid nothing to be there. That was just my thrill is bringing people out there that could actually film it, had the right kind of equipment, that could document the things that I saw in the skies over Gilliland's Ranch. I don't claim to have the answers. To me, they're UFOs. To the definition, they are unidentified flying objects. They are things that signaled back to me, which would make me believe that it's not a spy craft, because we would have a really stupid guy flying the spy craft if he's like, shh, we're being stealthy. Hey, look, they're signaling us. Flash, flash, flash. Just not
the
it.
The only reason I went there was to blast my power.
Exactly. And that was obvious. So I know that being there, that the producers were very careful with me. They said, Dave, don't tell Chip why we're here. Don't tell him why you were brought in. As far as he knows, you were just brought in on a case because you're always trying to throw us information to get us cases for the show. I said, that's fine. And we went out there, and it was kind of cool to keep everything on the lowdown and go out and do the investigations and then bring Chip in. And we all had to stand back in the back as Chip did his walkthrough with Ryan, and we were not allowed to be there during the filming. It was Chip and Ryan and the film crew, and that was it, doing the entire deal. So I know that they did keep Chip separate. From my point of view, you know, everything that happened on the show happened the way you guys saw it on television. And I can promise you again, if there was anything, and, you know, I had people planting seeds with me, oh, Dave, they're going to manipulate this and make you look like a fool, and they're going to do this and that and the other. And the show, the way people, you saw that episode is the way it went down. It was how I felt. It was how I felt during the event. It was how I felt after the event. The nice thing I've gotten word from a lot of people is they said they could see the sincerity in my eyes of how this place has affected me. And it's hard to go there and not be affected once you see things and you hear the stories of the people that are sharing things. And you have skeptics there, like the people that were there from above Top Secret. And, that you know, they were there to debunk this place, and they walked away with footage they couldn't explain.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that was interesting to me. But just to be there for that whole experience, I can honestly say, on the episode I was a part of, there was no trickery. Everything that was filmed was exactly as it appeared when we were there at the event. Nothing was added. Nothing was taken away. There were no special effects added. We saw what was going on. You know, people beat up on me, too, because they're like, oh, yeah. Oh, according to Schrader, he saw this. Well, where's the footage? Anybody that knows anything about cameras, most cameras cannot photograph stars. All I have is a crappy little digital camera, and I have my home video camera, both of which did not have night shot at the time. I just went there to physically put this guy to the test. He told me on a clear night I had a 90 to 95% chance of seeing things over the skies. And I went out and I watched it the first time, and I saw stuff in it. Definitely impacted me in what I was able to witness at Gilliland's Ranch. I went back again 4th of July this last year with my dear friends Susan and Kim. We experienced things, and it was right after that I talked to you, and I said, Ryan, it's nuts. This is two trips out there. I haven't been let down, and you guys agreed to do the episode out there, which, again, I thank you for, because I'm glad people got the opportunity to share a little bit of what we've actually had occur at the ranch. But with that said, that's my side of things. I can tell you from my point of view, there was nothing added or detracted from the episode we were part of. I gotta guess it gets a little frustrating to you guys to be a part of a show like this where it's brought on. First of all, let's dispel this rumor, and it's a funny one I hear from everybody, that every episode deals with demons and demonology. How many of the actual episodes in the two seasons that you filmed had anything to do with demonic forces, Ryan?
I'd say what do you think, Chip? Like four. I'd say
not that many at all. You know, we go in with the idea that we don't know what we're going to get on the episodes that I've done. I don't know what's there. I go in and check it out. And I rely on Ryan after I've done my walkthrough and given him my initial assessment to tell me if there's any reason why I need to layer on extra protections. But the truth is, there's not that many. There haven't been that many episodes that have dealt with anything that's a bunny.
Right.
I'd say, you know, look, I mean, when we go into cases, sometimes the client will feel as if it's demonic, and we address that in the show. Sometimes people have a hard time differentiating between what the client says and what we think, and we've tried to, you know, really show what we think versus what the client thinks. And one episode of that is, you know, there was a cemetery episode where the client kept saying, demon, demon, there's a demon here, and I was like, you know, I don't feel like there is one here. So, you know, it's all about religious and cultural beliefs. But when it comes down to it, officially, there's only been about four episodes that have dealt with the demonic, period. Out of how many episodes we've done, like 40 already. Like four. So
10% of your shows have 10%. Something to do with it.
So, and you know, look, I mean, we're not afraid to touch the subject. So say we did do half, you know, say we did like, you know, 20 episodes of the demonic. So what? I mean, it's... we're not necessarily going on there looking for it, but,
you know, a lot of groups, they turn these cases away. A lot of times these people bring these cases to us. And, you know, if we are truly here to help people, we're not going to turn away these people. And you know, and especially since the criticism started that, oh, you know, demons, blah, blah, blah. You know what? You know, for every one person out there who's bitching about this stuff, there's 110 people out there who are praising it. So, you know, I think it's a very one-sided argument that's, you know, it's not really going anywhere. I think we're here to help people. And if we choose to do another demonic episode in the future, we'll judge it based off of helping the clients, not what, you know, the 10 people out there are thinking and saying about us.
Well, what's interesting, too, is, you know, like with the Ghost Hunters, they take a lot of beat up because they're like, oh, first season they didn't get anything. Now every season they're going into these places. Well, yeah, because as the show gets bigger and gets to become a cultural phenomena, people start to know you for certain things. They know you guys will step into more of the harsh cases. Jay and Grant go out to a lot of the famous locations to try to locate them. And you go to a place that's known to be haunted, known to have a lot of activity, and then people are skeptical that when they go there, they actually get activity. It's crazy. And then you guys have been known to deal with some more of the edgier cases. So I would guess that then lends itself to the edgier cases become more open to you. People are like, well, if we've just got grandma haunting the house or something weird, we'll call Jay and Grant. If we've got something that seems a little bit spookier or creepier, we're going to the kids from Paranormal State because they seem to be more focused on that part of the show.
And comparing those two shows, comparing Ghost Hunters with Paranormal State, our good friend Chad Kalick used this reference. I said it's like comparing apples and oranges. He said, Chip, it's like comparing apples with a Volkswagen. You know, it really is. There's just so many differences between the shows. Ghost Hunters focuses mostly on investigative techniques, like you said, and famous places or certain aspects of the investigation, whereas Paranormal State, the way I describe it a lot, is like we're doing investigation as well as almost like social work and spiritual work for the people that are undergoing the hauntings.
Ryan, do you think you'd be taking as much heat if you were, I don't know, 40 and bald? As opposed to being, you know, 20-something and devilishly good-looking?
Bastard. I just think that all these people who are hating and bashing, they all just want to sleep with me. That's my opinion.
I think I know Tim all does.
I know I do. I mean, who doesn't?
According to the Internet, I already have.
And guys, again, understand that's a little irony. That's a little joke. He's not quite that full of himself. But no, do you think that it has something to do with just because they suppose your age is so young that you shouldn't be able to do the things that you do? And why would the diocese call a 20-year-old boy in to, you know, fight the battle of evil?
That's a good question, Dave. I'm still waiting for that answer. I don't know why the church sometimes calls me into these things, but I keep that very separate. I mean, the stuff that I do for the church on occasion, you know, it's definitely less than, you know, but it's still there. I still work with them, but, you know, they don't want the publicity. But then there's the show aspect that I do. And I think that, you know, I'm just not afraid to touch the subject. I'm not afraid to take a look at it. And, you know, I try to deal with it as real as I can, you know. The other thing, when it comes to this whole, I guess, realm of it, if you will, is, you know, look, I am young, but, you know, I definitely think there's some sort of jealousy and pettiness there, you know, look at him, he thinks he knows everything, but I don't. That's why I bring in experts. That's why I bring in people constantly. I mean, our show is the most diverse paranormal show out there. One minute you've got Dave Schrader, the other minute you've got Chad, the next minute you've got Michelle Blanchet, Mark and Debbie Constantinos, scientists, psychologists, psychics. It just goes on and on and on, especially for this new season. We're making it even more diverse.
Well, what's interesting, too, is people don't really pay attention to the follow-up on this. It's not like, hey, kids, we got ourselves a TV show. Let's put together a group. Penn State Paranormal Research has been around for how many years?
I started in 2001, and the show came out in 2007. So we were around for a good 6 years before the show even came out.
And you didn't put the group together with the intent of getting a TV show.
No. You know, look, I mean, look,
you're kind of the monkeys of the paranormal world. Is that what they're saying?
At the end of the day, I don't worry about what people assume. I mean, it's so crazy. I remember, you know, Jason and some others saying, you know, look, when your show comes out, you're going to hear the craziest rumors about, you know, you guys. And I was like, yeah, okay, you know, never really thinking about it. And at the end of the day, the only people I really care about who matter to me and what they think of me are my friends. And the only people I really answer to are my mom and Lorraine Warren. He was like my grandma. Those are the two people I really care, you know, who I answer to. So, you know, It's just, it is what it is. And I just wish this field would stop bashing each other. You know,
I agree.
I'm over here doing my own thing. You know, if they want to come join me, that's cool. If they want to stand over here in my space blog like a little bunch of high schoolers, look, it's all cool. You know, I'm not really paying attention to it. But, you know, if they want to do that, they're only making themselves look silly.
Well, tell us real quick, Ryan. We'll let you get flying. I know that you stayed up late to be a part of this. Chip's going to stay with us, and then we're bringing in a little bit more of a heated discussion with Michelle Bellinger after that. But go ahead.
Boy.
Yeah, it's gonna get ugly in here. We've promised a war. We're going to deliver a war. No, but tell us, Ryan, what's going on with the show? Are you guys are kind of in a break for season two? You're going to come back with more episodes for season two, correct?
Yeah, we're coming back. We have 13 more episodes coming out in January.
Great.
Yay.
Yeah, so, and then, of course, you know, there's a possibility of extending that for a season three, so, you know, we're still talking about that. So, but, I mean, the bottom line is that, you know, thanks to all you guys, I mean, Paranormal State's an amazing success, and I think it's just going to keep growing.
Well, and, you know, I hope people will watch it for the reason I watch it. It's an entertaining show with some good people on it that I just enjoy watching, and it deals with a part of the field that I'm interested in as well. And I think if you just take it for what it is on that and stop worrying so much about the ins and outs and who's screwing who, you know, I mean, nobody, I don't remember war letters going out because Starsky and Hutch didn't portray police departments, you know, properly. You know, everybody's got their own deal. Hey, I'm a redneck. Them Duke boys ain't nothing like us. But Ryan, much success to you. We hope all things go well, and we'll keep in touch with you in the future. Let us know as you're getting more episodes going, all right?
Dave, take care, and Chip, be nice to Michelle.
I will not do that, but I will see you this week.
Well, you guys stay tuned, stay with us. We're going to be back with more. You're listening to the best of Paranormal Talk Radio.
Never before have I turned on you when you look too good to me. Your beady eyes like a cut me in two, and I just can't let you be. But it's a free-for-all, and a heart is dead. You can bet your life. Stakes are high, and so am I. It's in the air tonight.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's a paranormal free-for-all right here on Darkness Radio. Thank you all for tuning in. And in honor of our next guest, we're going to give away. We've got the lovely Michelle Bellinger, who is a vampire metaphysical writer. Since she's a vampire, Tim, I think it's a good time to give away some more tickets to Twilight.
I like it.
Twilight, the new vampire movie, is going to come out. And we have special sneak preview tickets available. I think we only have four left. Is that right, lovely Bindolin? Yes, we only have four left. It is for Tuesday night. If you're interested, it's time to call in.
Call right now and pick up those tickets. I believe they're, if I remember right, are they good for two or are they good for one? We are not quite sure.
You know, I think they're good for two. We'll try to make them good for two. We'll just take care of it that way. So give us a call in. And we have four sets of tickets available. We won't tell you where the theater is because we don't want a million people showing up. But
yep.
Ben, when you call in, we'll tell you. So, again, if you want those tickets, four sets of tickets left. All right, we're going to go back to the show. Now, let's pot up Chip Coffee first, Tim. And keep Michelle cooling off in her corner, and we'll bring this thing together. Now, Chip, the episode we were talking about at the beginning of the show is the episode called The Messenger.
Right.
Now, give people that didn't see the episode a background of what the story was about. And again, we're talking the episode Paranormal State that airs on A&E on Monday nights. And the name of the episode is called The Messenger. I'm sure you can find it online or at YouTube so that after tonight's show, you can go check it out and see for yourself what happened. But go ahead and hit us.
The episode actually took place in a small town called Gold Beach, Oregon. And it was the story of a man and a woman who lived in a house that they proclaimed to be their dream home. They had moved there, I'm not exactly sure of the time frame, but maybe a year, year and a half prior, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. And they started to have paranormal activity associated with the house. And because of that, they got in touch with Penn State PRS and asked for their assistance to come and investigate the house. And that was kind of the backstory of what was going on. Kelly and Riley, I think Riley is her husband's name, Ryan, live in the house, and they were the ones who called and asked Ryan and the PRS team to come in and do the investigation.
All right, so they're brought in to do this investigation. Now, as a psychic sensitive, you're brought into the house to kind of get a feeling for what's going on. Now, the interesting thing, now Kelly has been on another radio show, the Ghost Divas, and I'll actually be on their show on November 26th, so I'm going to be put through the ringer myself here, I'm sure. But she was on the show talking about some of the stuff that was going on, and part of the claims were at one point, Chip, and I apologize, I don't remember if this part was on camera, but you had made a claim that it was her grandfather that had come through, and the grandfather had, she had lost her grandfather, and that you thought that there was maybe some not such good things that grandpa had done to her, and she claims now that that was never true and all this. How do you respond to, I mean, did she react in person on the show like she knew what you were talking about, or was she defiant from the get-go?
First of all, I have no recollection of saying that Kelly was sexually molested by her grandfather, as she has claimed. I think
so it did not appear on air?
I'm sorry?
So that did not appear on air?
I have not watched the episode in a few weeks, so I do not remember ever saying that, nor do I remember seeing it on air. I remember saying I thought at his hand there was some level of abuse. But she could interpret that any way she wanted to. There are many forms of abuse. There's
right.
physical abuse, there's sexual abuse, there's emotional abuse, there's spiritual abuse.
Verbal abuse, right.
Absolutely, there's many forms of abuse. But Kelly shed some tears when I struck that chord with her and admitted that she had a very volatile, that's a good word, relationship with this man. Admitted that she loved him and wished that things could be different, but admitted that in his lifetime she had a volatile relationship with her grandfather.
All right, so now at this point it's just a normal episode. You're just dealing, trying to help a family out. Now, with there were some of the other allegations, something about a beer can and leaving a cold ring in the thermal cam, picking up a cold spot. And now, from what I understand from the kids at PRS, they were trying to use the beer can to entice the spirit because the ghost supposedly liked beer.
Absolutely.
And they used
nothing
the beer.
More than that.
Right. They were just using the beer can as an, and I know that on Ghost Hunters and on some of the investigations we do, if we go to a location where we know there's a child's spirit, we'll bring balls and dollies and toys. And I know people brought a tricycle to the Stanley Hotel for the little kids to play with on the floor. So that's a normal part because they're hopefully you're trying to get interaction with the spirits.
Right. Absolutely. No other reason than that. The beer can, from what I understand now, unbeknownst to Ryan and me, the beer can was placed there by other members of PRS. We didn't know. When we turned on the light in the room, we thought we saw the image of a body as we switched on the light, which has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that there was a beer can sitting on the bed.
Okay.
You know, the beer can was placed there. We explained why the beer can was placed on the can of beer was placed on the bed. End of story.
All right.
Really, it is. End of story. Honestly, you know, Ryan was very hospitable about his assessment of Kelly. I can't be that hospitable even though I live in the South. I truly believe that the spotlight for a while shined on Kelly and that she enjoyed that attention. And now the spotlight started to dim a bit and she needs that spotlight back on herself. Evidence of this fact is now she's running a business at her house. She's actually running Ghost Cottage, which is her business that she's running there. And she's offering tours of her home, from what I understand. She's gone and joined the Gold Beach Chamber of Commerce and started her own paranormal organization. You know, so what was Kelly's real motivation in asking PRS to be at her house?
Right.
Why months after the show was taped, all of a sudden, has Kelly decided to start what she would consider an expose? Why didn't she throw us out of her house if she didn't like the way we were conducting business?
That's a good question. We're going to come back with more of those type of questions, and we're going to introduce into the conversation author and psychic and metaphysical researcher Michelle Bellinger. We're going to take a quick break. You guys stay tuned. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. You can join me this weekend for my birthday, November 21st and 22nd, out at the Seven Sisters Inn in Ocala, Florida. I'll be joined by Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence, Kristen Gartland from Ghost Hunters, and Rob Demarest from Ghost Hunters International. We're going to be ghost hunting the Seven Sisters Inn as featured on the hit TV series Ghost Hunters on the Sci-Fi Channel. It's an amazing place. We're going to go out there. There are tickets available, so please come out and join us. You can get information, spell it out, SevenSistersHaunt.com. Again, that's SevenSistersHaunt.com for all the information and ticket prices there. I hope you'll come out and have a little fun with us. All right, time to go back to our phones, Tim. Have you been toweling off your contender?
Oh, yes, I have.
Okay, I just got out the squirt bottle for Chip Coffee. I'm giving him a little shoulder rub here. Ready? We're ready to ring the bell and start this war. Ladies and gentlemen, weighing in at 110 pounds, fighting out of the corner from Atlanta, Georgia, Chip Coffee. All right,
Ring
Chip.
The bell.
Yeah, exactly. Now let's talk about this real quickly, and then we're going to bring on Michelle Bellinger.
Okay.
And Michelle, you're online. Just hold your tongue here before you start the verbal assault on Chip Coffee, although he might need it. Let's start it off this way.
For it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Chip, according to Kelly, now I've watched the episode. I didn't see any kind of strangeness between you and Michelle on the episode, but according to Kelly, at one point during the late night session during dead time, you and Michelle went at it, I guess, and you were just being horrible, and Michelle Bellinger called you a fake and a fraud, basically spit in your face, stomped on your puppies, kicked your cat, and left the room.
And told Kelly that she was the best psychic she'd ever met.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing. Now, Michelle, it's time to weigh in, because I saw you at UNIVCON with Chip Coffee, and the anger, the hatred, the raw passion and disdain for each other, I mean, you could cut it. It was culpable. If I would have had a chainsaw, I don't think I could have gotten through it. So, it felt awkward just to be near you two at this event. I can't even believe that you guys didn't go at each other's throats here. So that's that's a good show of professional.
I can't believe I'm on the radio with her right now.
I understand that. Now, Michelle, what's your take on this whole scenario?
Oh, well, Chip is just such a little diva.
Yeah, bring it, bitch.
Oh, that's queen bitch to you. Oh,
yeah.
Snap.
evidently, you didn't get enough of me during our paranormal smackdown in Oregon.
Oh, yeah, that smackdown on Bear Camp Road. Holy cow.
What we're doing is we're talking about the Paranormal State episode, The Messenger. And it was with Chip Coffee and Michelle Bellinger, and the Paranormal State crew were out investigating. And during one point, according to the allegations, Kelly, the homeowner, said that Michelle had to leave the investigation because she referred to Chip as a fraud and a fake, and that she has felt this way for a long time and left. And we've brought you guys together to kind of hash this out on the radio. And as we were just talking, it's a little heated, but in truth, let's get to the real matter of the fact at this point. Michelle, how much of that story is true?
What is true is during that dead time, there was a point where I got up and left.
And that's the truth. And is it, in fact, because Chip Coffee is a fake and a fraud?
It's actually because our flights were delayed Thursday. We didn't get in until Friday. And then Chip and I, along with one of the crew, had this very extensive detour through the mountains so that a six-hour trip took 8 or 9 through hair-raising hills and mountains.
And a flat tire.
Oh, yeah, and the fire and the flat tire and just the steep, steep incline. And by dead time, I was tired. So as it just kind of kept going and kept going, I didn't think that I could add anything further to the conversation, so I got up to just see what else I could get just walking around the house.
All right.
I did tell Kelly that she really needed to embrace her talents, that she had psychic gifts, because I felt that part of the problem with the haunting, a lot of the problems that the family was experiencing, was because she had repressed her gifts due to issues with her family or whatever had caused her to get to the point where she shut everything down. And I felt that repression of her gifts had caused a lot of trouble. So I really did my best to try to build her up to have faith in her abilities.
Right. So the war, and we were just joking around with you guys, the listeners, because Michelle and Chip actually approached me and they said, hey, Dave, we want to, kind of allay these deals. So we were just playing it up because, people have made such a big drama over nothing. And we wanted to put you two together.
Did I screw it up by dropping an F-bomb?
No, let's stop talking about it. The thing is that Chip, when you guys were there doing the investigation, was there tension? I mean, was there any kind of culpable tension there between you and the homeowner at any time that you were aware of, Chip?
I would have to say yes. And honestly, there was tension due to the fact that one of the things that I suggested to Kelly was that she was going to have to take control of the situation herself. She's the one who wanted the entity out of her house.
Mm-hmm.
And I suggested that Kelly very strongly walk down the hall and tell this entity that we were all sensing around us that it needed to leave her house and do it in a very firm and forceful manner. And she did it in a very calm and very placid sort of, you need to leave my house. I want you to leave my house now. You shouldn't be here, rather than showing a sign of ownership and force in her house. And at a time when she claims that I was plastered in fear while she was down the hall in a leather chair in her living room, really, the look that, if you look very closely, the look on my face is, what the heck is she doing? She's not showing any sign of force whatsoever to drive this entity out of her house. You know, and I told Kelly in no uncertain terms, if you spoke to me as an intruder in your house the way you spoke to the spirit, I'd tell you I'm not going anywhere. And I think that's really what started Kelly's anger at me, was the fact that she was using language that had no force or no power to it. She was, the intonation in her voice, the tone of her voice, was not at all forceful. And I was a little, at that point, missed by the fact that she was taking such a laid-back attitude to getting this entity out of her house that she seemed to want to have gone.
Now, here's, Michelle, maybe you can answer this, and it seems like Kelly is a fan of yours and likes you quite a bit. And if she is psychic and knows these things and she's now making a business out of it, and again, I'm not attacking Kelly. I don't know her. I haven't had her on the show. I don't know anything more about her. I did listen to her on the Ghost Divas show and her allegations and anger that she threw out there. But what I'm curious about, Michelle, is if this woman is a psychic, why didn't she deal with this on her own? Why did she need to bring in Paranormal State and handle this?
It seems through a series of incidents, either with her family or in her previous history, leading up to moving to Oregon and getting the house that she and her husband were in, she'd sort of lost faith in trusting her own abilities. And I got the distinct impression that she had really called us out there for verification, to help her, to have other people say, yes, I see this too.
Okay.
And that was strongly the impression that I got.
She also now claims that her spirit guide told her not to handle that entity on her own.
Okay. Which is understandable if there was something malevolent, maybe. And we do recommend this for people. Folks, and I have people ask me this all the time, especially when they buy new equipment. I don't recommend ever ghost hunting your own home. Because if you didn't have a ghost before, if you open up that doorway and start letting the ghost know that you're there, you very well may open up a doorway for them to come to you. And if that's not something you want in your home, I do not recommend it. And I do recommend to people, if you think you have a spirit, bring in the professionals, bring in somebody who's prepared to deal with this, knows what they're doing, so that you're not engaging and you're not giving power to the spirits that are in the home.
Another thing, can I kick in one other thing, Dave?
Please.
One other thing that's been alleged is the fact that we arrived 48 hours prior, Michelle and I arrived 48 hours prior to the actual taping of the episode, which, as Michelle told you earlier, is absolutely not the truth. We basically just got there after severe travel delays, and myself, an overnight in Portland that was unscheduled, and Michelle and I drove through this god-awful mountain pass logging road that took hours and hours. We got there barely by the skin of our teeth in order to start taping. And the other thing that's been alleged is that I was fed information and am often fed information by the producers or the crew or someone for the cases that I go on, and nothing could be further from the truth. I
want the same thing to you that they do to me, don't they? Where it's just kind of like, you know, the next city close to where the investigation is, and usually you're stuck in a hotel room for as long as they don't need you, and then they call, and then they ship somebody out or give you a car to drive out, and then it's pretty much a go time.
We don't know the names of the clients or anything when we go on location.
Well, you guys,
we're given an airline ticket to a nearby airport. We're given a hotel room, which we generally get to and collapse to begin with. And sometimes, if we're lucky, we're given a car. But
yeah, I bring a couple of Dean Koontz novels every time.
We're given nothing.
Copy of Diablo 2, so I can sit when I'm cooling my heels in the hotel room. I mean, sometimes I'm there for a day and a half without having contact with much of anybody.
Well, we got to take a quick break here. We'll come back into our last segment, about a 10-minute segment with you guys. Stay with us on the air. We have with us a metaphysical writer, Michelle Bellanger. We also have Chip Coffee, the psychic medium from the television show Paranormal State, and Psychic Kids on A&E. You're listening to Darkness Radio, the best in paranormal talk radio. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We got our own barroom blitz going on right here. Our guests are Michelle Bellanger, Chip Coffee, episodes of Paranormal State that they appeared on called The Messenger. We're just trying to allay some of the fact from fiction here and figure out what actually happened on the site. And as we found out now with this, at no time did Michelle refer to Chip or refer to anybody there on set as Chip was a fake or fraud, as was alleged. She didn't storm out because of anger and frustration. She basically just needed a break, and nothing was happening during dead time for her, so she left the room. Is that correct, Michelle?
Pretty much.
Okay. And now, is there any animosity between the two of you guys? And real, everybody's like, oh, why did they sound so angry? Again, we're just playing it up as a bit. Yeah, there was no real...
One of the things I have to say is I have great respect for Michelle Bellanger. We poke and jab at each other. She calls me a diva. I call her the B word every now and then. But we love each other, at least from my perspective. I'll speak for myself. I have great respect for her talents as a writer. And on an episode that she did a paranormal state called The Glove, I'd never witnessed Michelle's psychic abilities in action. And when I saw that episode and heard some of the things that she came up with psychically, I was lying on my couch, and I have told her this. I came off my couch and was yelling at the television, "You go, girl." Time. I have that level of respect. Do we poke and jab at each other every now and then? Of course we do.
Sure.
But that's just who
I am
and who I believe she is. We're friends.
The irony is the Messenger episode was the episode where Chip and I bonded. Before, I know he didn't actually even know that I had much psychic ability. He knew me as an occultist and an occult researcher. And it was the trip along Bear Camp Road that had us really start to get to know one another. It's amazing what going through a point when literally a couple of times we were in fear for our lives. There was no cell reception. We ended up with a flat tire. It was really, really treacherous driving. And so we got to know one another, and I think we came out of it much tighter than we possibly could have been going into it. We definitely come from different backgrounds. He's a Catholic. I'm an occultist. We don't always see eye to eye on ideological things, but that's hardly a reason to not...
Now, explain real quickly for people that are new to this field. Occultist doesn't mean that you're out drinking blood and dancing naked in the moonlight, does it?
I've watched her do that.
I research the occult. Anything that is esoteric, fringy, from Western magical tradition, ancient Egyptian magic, anything that is on the fringe. So that's how I'd come into Paranormal State behind the scenes, as the go-to expert. I've written half a dozen books on the topic of magic and psychic ability and the occult and vampires and everything else in between. And so that is my area of expertise. But I'm also a psychic.
All right. Well, now, and can you tell us, Michelle, now how many episodes have you done of Paranormal State?
I think after everything that's been filmed in third season, going on six.
Okay, so you've got about six episodes under your belt. You know, and be honest here. I mean, your reputation's on the line as well. If you were brought into an episode of any paranormal show and you started to see some shenanigans going on, would you, you know, maybe not blow the whistle, but would you remove yourself from continuing to do episodes?
I would not be able to, in good conscience, continue to work with anybody.
Although that's a loaded question, because if you're never on another episode, everybody's going to automatically assume you saw some trickery and quit, and that's why you were never brought back. But, right, that's why I was when people, you know, I was almost offended when people were blasting me and, oh, Schrader just sold out and, you know, blah, blah, he wanted his 15 minutes of fame. No, I just wanted to go to the ranch, and anybody in my position would turn around and do the exact same thing. You know, it's great to be out there and get to explore and do something you love to do, which was investigate the paranormal and do this.
Let me put it to you this way, Dave. There are those people out there that say that we are para-celebrities and that
right.
We're out there doing this and we're selling out for a television show and blah, blah, blah. Let me just put this out there. If any one of them had gotten the call to appear on Ghost Hunters, Paranormal State, any one of the shows that's out there, you can bet your bottom dollar that they would have hopped on that, packed a bag and hopped on that airplane so fast it would make your head spin.
Right. I agree. But again, you know, and that's where I think then it's up to you. Once you get involved with the show, if you see something you think is shady or not going on, you know, then it's up to you to make the decision. I wouldn't put myself in the position to be a part of any show where I saw blatant trickery and fakery going on. Nothing like that happened on the episode I was a part of. I know the guys, you know, Paranormal State doesn't mean I like every episode. Doesn't mean I like the way that they handle some things, because that's not the way I would do it. But it doesn't mean I think they're fakes and frauds as well. I think, like all people, you know, Ghost Hunters, I love those guys. We do live events with them all the time. I maintain that they're human and they make mistakes. Do I think that every bit of evidence they've ever put out there is legitimate paranormal? No. I think that they, like us on an investigation, can mess up and think something's legitimate and find out, you know, you present something and then later on it's pointed out to you what else it could be. And, you know, I've watched guys go, oh, that's interesting. You know, we'll have to take a look at that again. And they do question what they do.
One of the cool things about being on the show is you get to see all the behind-the-scenes stuff that everybody always conjectures about. It would be so, so easy to fake things in such a way that no one would be the wiser on the audience end of things. And that temptation has got to be huge for shows that are going out for ratings, and yet the integrity of the people involved in Paranormal State is high enough that they have looked at evidence that at first glance looks really, really cool, and they test every possible option to make sure that it's not something that they're just misinterpreting.
What I think is so funny that people pick apart on the show is, well, why don't they show this? Why don't they show this? Why don't they show this? Because if they showed everything that people wanted to see, we would have the most boring half an hour or hour of programming on the planet. Yes, it's important and it's nice to know these things. It's, what do they call it? Temporary suspension of disbelief when you go see a movie, right? You got to just give it up the fact that Superman can fly. Why? Who cares? He can fly. When you get into some of these paranormal shows, I really don't want to watch Jason and Grant sitting around scratching their butts watching, you know, the wallpaper peel while they're waiting for something to occur. Let's keep the flow and edit moving quickly. And same with Paranormal State. You're out there filming for hours. I know, geez, on that episode we did for the UFO Ranch, they filmed all day long for the interviews with me and the staff members and anybody that ever had any kind of activity there. And then at night we filmed, geez, we started, what, at like 9 o'clock at night, and we kept going to like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning filming the things that we were experiencing, the drumming, the all that. So there's a lot of footage, and we did that for 3 nights.
Yeah, it's become a regular thing for me with this time to kind of get up and wander around the room and stuff.
Right.
It's nerve-wracking for 3-4 hours trying to get something to manifest. And there's, if you've ever gone ghost hunting, there's a tension you feel start building in the atmosphere when something's about to happen. And then, like, you know, 3 more cameramen come into the room or something and just kind of ruin that moment. And so you're kind of constantly on the edge and feeling something, if you're sensitive, just sort of trying to gather on the air. And when it doesn't manifest, or when situations occur that make it kind of fall apart, I end up getting up and wandering around a lot.
Right. Well, guys, I appreciate you spending some time with us. We have about a minute left. Michelle, how can people reach out to you, get in touch with you, and pick up your books?
My website, michellebelanger.com. Failing that, Google Michelle and Vampire, and I'm going to come up the first 15 pages. My latest book is Walking the Twilight Path, which is attempts to teach people how to harness the benefits of the near-death experience without actually going through the trauma of near-death, having gone through a near-death experience myself before the age of 5. It's probably one of the things that helped build up and bolster some of my psychic abilities. I also have a book coming out in the spring called Haunting Experiences, and it's my path to learning how to accept and harness my medium abilities.
Very cool. And Chip, people can reach out to you at chipcoffee.com.
Correct.
And that's Chip, ChipCoffey.com. And Chip, you're going to be on more episodes of Paranormal State, right?
I'm actually going to shoot an episode this weekend.
Well, we wish you much success. Guys, you know, keep plugging away. Don't let the haters get to you. Again, you know, I hope people will take into effect that this is TV entertainment as well. And in order to make it entertaining, there are cuts and there are edits made and there are things that are filmed a certain way, so that way the viewer keeps tuning in. And guys, I'm going to hope that you're going to keep it real, and that if it ever comes to the point where any of you are compromised, that you'll just walk away from a project if you feel that you're selling out.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Well, thank you both for joining us here this evening. Thank you all for tuning in to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We'll be back with brand new episodes next weekend. Stay tuned. You'll be back with us every Saturday and Sunday, 9 to midnight. If you miss any part of the shows, check out our website. There you'll find all of our podcasted shows. We look forward to hearing more from you again. My name is Dave. Along with me, Tim Dennis. We'll be back with you again next week.
ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.